Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, could the mysterious but natural deaths of several women be attributed to the paranormal? That's what we discuss today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you care to support the program, we would gladly accept that and thank you. With that, we're going to give you a bonus episode every single week. You get access to our archive of bonus episodes that we've been giving out to our EPPs supporters, extra podcast people, as we call them, over the last many a year. So you get instant access to like 320 some bonus episodes. Then you get our regular episodes in advance, no commercials in those when you're an EPP. So that's a nice extra perk. Also throw in our ebook and our audiobook, both like $15 values if you had to buy it in Amazon or Audible. You get that with being an EPP as well. $5 a month is all it is. You want something even more extra? Sign up for the annual membership and get one of those months free, along with everything else I just talked about. So, ghostpodcast.com, the place to do that. Or if you like Patreon, we do too. Great platform. All the same content over there too. Patreon.com/realghoststories is where you will do that. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you for today's program. And how are you this fine day?
Tony, I'm good.
Good.
Seems like forever since I talked to you. So then, of course, we have to spend 45 minutes catching up before we do this.
It's fun, and it's a completely honest statement. Whenever we talk, I'm like, holy shit, it's like I've been talking for 40 minutes, and we have. And it's like, so that's a good thing. You know, we've been friends for I don't even know how many years now, but yeah, we're good at talking.
You really are. And gossiping and all of the things.
Yeah.
But that's what friends do.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like my therapeutic hour of the week of guess what? It's like talking on the playground.
Yeah, because we actually got ready to do this. I'm like, oh, wait, whoa.
Yeah.
I got one more thing. I can't wait till next Monday.
Someday that will be a podcast in itself. It'll be this the before show. It'll be an extra.
But it'll be like kind of like, and then beep.
Yep.
Like, then he comes walking over and he goes, beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. It'll be like a redacted document from the government where it's like all this, like, names in places people are all removed. So, anywho, but it would be entertaining nonetheless. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. It's the month of October, so if you're new to the program, this show exists year-round, and you're welcome to share your ghost stories with us anytime you like. Let's go to our first one. It says, I moved in with a woman, Libby, who I knew from childhood, and I was her older sister Terry's first boyfriend. At age 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 as she moved away. I saw Terry again when I was in my mid-20s, and to this day, she was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I was fortunate enough to get together with her for a few dates in my late 40s, but things did not work out. I don't know if that has anything to do with what happened, but maybe. Terry died about 8 years ago of cancer, a few years after our dates. The girlfriend I had before Terry died of cancer too. Again, I did not know if this had anything to do with what happened, but here we go. Terry left 2 young daughters behind after her death, and my new girlfriend Libby took custody since the 2 fathers were unable to do so. Libby and the girls have been living in the house I've moved into for about 7 years. The youngest is now 15, the elder is almost 20. So the younger daughter, I found out, had been hearing noises in her closet and other things that I can't remember right now. But I took steps to figure it out and found branches from the tree hitting the house pretty close to the closet area. But by then, she had talked to an Indian woman. I do not know what tribe she's from, but she knows how to rid spirits from the house and that she would be over to help the young girl out and feel more at ease. Well, she came over a day or two later and sent the pets out of the house first, except my old cat. She tied a piece of leather string around her ankle. I do not know why. Then she put sage in a frying pan. She brought it with her, had the four of us touch the sage, I guess to put our DNA on it. Then she heated it up and the house filled with the smell of smoke. Two girls took sticks of the burning sage to put in their rooms. The next step was that a plate and a cup were put out, and every time we ate something, we'd first put a piece of it on the plate, and if we drank anything, we would put a sip in the cup first. This was for the spirits. We were told that the next day, we were to take it outside, leave the door open behind us so the spirits would follow us out of our landline and set it there for them. Wow. Except that the night before taking it out, I was sitting on the couch watching TV while everyone was asleep in their rooms, and I heard as clear as day a small bell ring like five different times or so from a little bell in the foyer about 15 feet away. I muted the TV, listened to it again, but nothing more happened. It was weird, but I mostly just blew it off and turned the TV back on. Before going to bed, I scanned the shelves and tables that were in view of the little bell, but saw nothing. The next morning, before taking the food and drink in the property line, I told the elder daughter and Libby what I had heard the night before. I left the young girl out of the story so she wouldn't be scared. They were both a little freaked out, especially Libby. When we returned to the house, I led her towards the sound as we passed by the possibility of a little bell somewhere I didn't know of on a shelf or something. But Libby had a strong suspicion where it came from, since there were no little bells or knickknacks that would make such a sound. Libby went straight for a box that was on top of another box, both the size of a shoebox, maybe a little bigger. She'd cleaned her office next to the foyer to put the boxes in the foyer, but the box was closed. The flaps folded to close it. She opened up and reached and pulled out a little bell and rang it. I freaked out. The hair on my arm stood and I walked away, Libby following right behind me because she knew by my reaction that was what I had heard. I sat on the couch and she sat in the chair next to me. And while her voice cracked and tears welled in her eyes, she managed to tell me where that bell was from. Libby housed Terry and her daughters while Terry slowly died and used that bell to ask for help when no one was near. I did not know about that the bell was in that box. Since we had left the food and the drink out on our land, there had not been any other noise. Now, I started this story out the way I did because at the time this happened, I was also not getting along with her the best that I should have. Maybe Terry was here checking on her kids or here to let me know I better get my shit together. Either way, it was real, and it scared the hell out of me to know where and why this bell was used more than hearing it ring like 5 feet away. Thoughts on that one?
You know, that's interesting to me because bells don't all sound the same.
Sure.
It's interesting that there's the bell sound and then, oh, look, here's the bell in a box that wouldn't be ringing by itself. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, that one is kind of creepy, but kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it's
like, it's creepy, but it's kind of like, hey, I'm watching and I don't know. It's like, I know what's going on.
It's a weird dynamic in the whole thing. Yeah. You know, it's great that they're doing what they're doing, being the foster parents. It's interesting, like, you know, thank you, but you're screwing up. Ring this bell. And it's a very interesting twist of events in that,
you know,
story.
It's hard to parent if you feel like there's someone you can't see, you know, the actual parent watching over.
Yeah.
That's really an interesting one to me.
It is. But I think,
but at the same time, like, I still think it's kind of cool in a way.
It is.
Like, I'm watching this shit.
I remember one of my earliest memories of ghost stories was Unsolved Mysteries. And there was an episode on there, I remember, where there was an older couple. And one of them was ridden either to their chair or to their bed. It was one of the two. And one of them would ring this little, you know, like tea bell, you know, when they needed the other to get something. And there's, you know, it's how their system worked. And it was cute and they loved each other and it was great. And they kept having problems because this one would start hearing the bell ringing and they weren't ringing it. And they'd be like coming down like, well, what do you need? Like, I didn't ring it at all. And then at one point, the wife sees a person, like a shadow, walk by the bathroom door. And then she was confused as to why, I believe he was upstairs because he normally wouldn't be there. And no one was there. And this is when the bell was ringing. And it was really interesting because on camera, the old couple was really just trying to come to grips with what was going on. It was a very authentic ghost story moment I remember seeing on that old episode of Unsolved Mysteries, but it involves one of those a bell like incident as well.
But and that's such a distinct thing, and especially if it's like that's what they do to get your attention. Mm-hmm. So you know, you could be watching TV and you hear it, and it's like without even thinking, you just hear it and get up and go see.
Yeah,
like, hey, what?
No thought of paranormal at all. I mean, unless it starts. You start having a trend and then it's like, okay, wait a minute. But initially, no, you're just like, okay, what, you know, it is what it is. It's like a doorbell. You know, it's like there's someone at the door. You don't think, you know, there's a ghost at your door. You think someone's rang your doorbell. So,
yeah, when I moved in this house, I was watching TV one night and I had the TV on and the doorbell actually rang on the TV because I rewound it to find out for sure.
Okay.
I was convinced that somebody was like there was a ghost at my front door. I was like, yeah, there's nobody there. I go, great.
Okay.
Now my doorbell's going off for no reason.
Well,
and then I'm like, wait a minute. It could have been the TV, sure enough.
Well, I'll rephrase it. Most of us don't think there's a ghost at our front door when the doorbell rings, unless you're Carol Hughes.
Because I went to answer it and there's nobody there. But I just had moved in, so I really didn't know what my doorbell sounded
sure.
like yet.
Sure, yeah. That's always a fear I have because I remember back in the like the early 90s, people started to get those real like cheesy automatic doorbells that would do like horrible little medleys, sometimes like hymns and things like that. And it would just go on. And when I'm house shopping, I have to ring the doorbell because it's like, if it has like something like that, I don't know that I'm going to be able to deal with it. I'm sure it's fixable. You can take it out. But I don't like the early 90s, the monochromatic, whatever they were, you know, sounding doorbells that play, you know, I don't even know what they were, you know, Oh, Come All Ye Faithful. It's just like,
well, you could, you know, you could like have the theme for, you know, like 4th of July themed.
There's a business, Carol, right there, customizing your doorbell, but like in today's style, like you could like have it play anything.
Yeah. And then like you could Instagram it. It's like the people who come to your door, like you could put little cat whiskers on them and stuff.
Yeah. You can just do it directly through the video.
I need to call a ring up. I need to contact those people and go, hey, I got this great idea.
People just laugh at who's ever at the door for 10 minutes. Oh, hang on, I'm coming. No, make that face again. No, I have a creep. There's a creepy clown virtually on you. Yeah. God. Even better, what you do is you put, you have the ring doorbell there, but you also have a visual screen that the person who's at the door can look at and see themselves in. And then on that screen is where you project like there's a creepy clown standing right behind you and they look at, looking at the door and they're like, oh, there I am. Oh, what the hell? And they turn around and there's nothing there. And it's off the screen too.
I think that's a really good one.
That would be a fun prank to play and possibly accidentally kill someone by giving them a heart attack. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, guys. My name's Dave Robertson. I was calling in first time. I was listening to your show about a week ago. You were talking about Branson, Missouri, which kind of brought back some memories back then. I would say my story would be kind of like a funny ghost story in a way. This would have been around probably mid-90s, kind of when Branson, Missouri was really starting to pick up. And my brother and I were musicians, and we went out to start playing music for people here and there. But we ended up finding a trailer that was sitting pretty well way off into the woods. And the guy we rented from, his house was at the street. We had a gravel driveway, went way back into where the trailer was sitting. So you could not see the trailer from the road. And from the moment that we got the trailer, we were kind of shocked that we even found it, because at the time it was very difficult to find a place to rent, because any place you could find was already taken up, and this was fairly cheap. And so we decided to pull the trigger and go ahead and rent this trailer. It was a two-bedroom trailer, and from the beginning, we started noticing little things happening, like the remote control disappearing, where you would leave it on the couch, you would go out to the store, you would come back, it would be sitting on the bar in the kitchen area, cabinet doors would be open and shutting, stuff like that. And just a few little things here and there, odds and ends, that just kind of, after a while, got you thinking, you know, something's not right here. So what we ended up doing was we ended up accusing or asking our landlord's son, which was about our age at the time. We were like, dude, are you coming down and like watching our cable while we're gone and, you know, removing our remote control and all that stuff, which he then denied and all that. And after so many months of just little odds and ends of things happening, we started to realize something was amiss, so to speak. For example, one time I'm in the shower, I get home from work, I'm in the shower, I hear the front door open and slam shut. Somebody starts running down the hall and goes back into my brother's bedroom and slams the door. So I'm yelling at my brother, hey, you know, from the shower, what are you doing home? So, you know, you're supposed to be at work. So I get out of the shower, get cleaned up, you know, get dried off, come out, nobody's there. And then from then on, it kind of started picking up. Now, the funniest part of all this started was that we were sitting there one evening, my brother and I, and we were sitting on the couch watching TV, and this is dead of winter, and probably 10 degrees outside, about a foot of snow on the ground, and what we noticed was a breeze, very cold breeze coming in. And so we looked down the hall toward the bedrooms and realized that the back door is wide open. And so didn't think nothing of it, just thought maybe it wasn't shut all the way, so we locked it. Went back in the living room, sat back down, started watching TV again. And as soon as we sat down, we felt this cold breeze again. And we look down the hall and the back door's wide open again. So after about five times of this happening, we were looking out into the snow, no footprints, was thinking somebody was playing a joke on us, our landlord, something like that. But after about five, six times, we realized something is doing this, that's nobody else is in the house but my brother and I. So what we ended up doing was the washer and dryer was directly right there by the door. So we ended up bungeeing with a bungee cord. We tied it around the door handle. we take and hook it onto the washing machine and go back, sit down, and it probably wasn't 60 seconds. Turn right around, look down the hall, felt a cold breeze, back door's wide open again. So at this point, we realize there's a spirit here or something that's playing a joke on us. Now, we weren't scared. There was no fear. We weren't scared of anything at that point. We just thought, this is kind of hilarious in a way. And so not only did we bungee it again with a bungee cord, we then took a rope, tied a rope around the door handle, and tied it to the washer and dryer also, and took a hanger and twisted it around and hooked it also to the washer and dryer and locked it again. We could push the door, kick the door, do whatever we had to do. The door would not open at all until we would walk back in the living room and sit down. And the funny thing was that as soon as we would sit down, the door would be wide open, and the bungee cord and the hanger and the rope and every little thing we had tied to the washer and dryer was still tied to the washer and dryer, but the door was wide open. So I just thought I would throw that out since you were talking about Branson, Missouri at the time. We did come to find out later on after the fact that someone did die in that trailer. There was an older gentleman, I believe, that had a heart attack. I believe he had died years prior before we had moved in, and there was a reason why they could not rent that out, was because I guess the locals knew about it, but us being new to Branson at the time and getting our jobs to play music for certain bands and certain musicians or singers, songwriters in Branson, we come along and picked it up as soon as possible. But to me, it was more like at that point we realized this was a joke that this spirit was playing on us. And after so many times of doing it, it just finally, we just gave up on it and it stopped. And once we just kind of told the spirit, hey, ha ha, funny, you got us there, please stop because it's cold outside and you're letting my heat out, and it stopped. So to me, I just thought that was a hilarious story that I have not heard too many on the show. I've been listening for the past few months now, and I just thought it was a funny story that how some spirits play jokes on us as we go through our day and go through, you know, what we do day in, day out, and not really paying attention. And I think sometimes they just like to play a joke on us and just to say, hello, I'm here. And, but yeah, I just thought that was, a funny story I would tell you guys. And, like your show, listen to your podcast every day while I'm at work, and, would like to hear your feedback. So thank you so much. I will call back, have a few other stories that I will tell you in the future, but, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thanks for calling and sharing your story with us. Thoughts?
Well, he did address what I was thinking, because I'm like, it's funny, but like nobody can afford to live in the trailer.
Yeah.
If the door is opening up all the time, like trailers are hard enough to heat.
Yeah.
And cool. Yeah. Let alone the damn doors open.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that he did address that, because I was like, well, of course they're going to have to move. It's haunted and they can't afford the utilities.
And it seemed to stop. So it sounds very much like it was just kind of one of those mischievous spirits. Like, all right, I got you.
I love how they got out bungee cords and everything. It's like, we are going to bungee cord the door to the washer. Like, I love how they try to think of everything like that.
There's nothing that can affect this, and somehow it still gets its way. That's the thing with the ghosts. They still seem to always find their way. But
I like that they found peace with it. And yeah. Then it was like, okay, cool. And then it stopped.
Yeah. It was a good example of that taking place of them finding the peace that they were looking for. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your real ghost story with us. Let's do one more call before we wrap things up on today's episode. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hello, my name is Peter. I live in San Francisco, California. I've lived here for many years. My story involves Golden Gate Park, which is, I found out later, known as a very haunted place. I was out with a friend of mine in the old horse trails before the windmill to the far end of the western end of the park. Very few people are out there, really. You have to know that area to wander around there. So we were on some trails, and then we were walking off trail towards the windmill, and all of a sudden this man came out of the blue. He was dressed in a members only jacket, you know, top parted hair, top siders and faded jeans, little gold glasses, polo shirt, kind of out of date, sort of like what you would have seen in somebody in the early 1980s, that sort of preppy look. Anyway, he could have just been an eccentric dresser. That wasn't the strange thing. He came up and he was very alarmed, and he said, "Have you seen my dog?" And I said, "No, what does the dog look like?" And he said, "A small red dog. I need to find my dog." And he was very alarmed. I mean, the energy was almost in a panic. And we said that we would, you know, of course, tell him if we saw him again. We turned and turned back, and he was literally hundreds of yards away going down a path into an area called Chain of Lakes. My friend who I was there with is an attorney and not somebody who believes in supernatural things. And he said there is absolutely no way that that guy could have crossed that distance that quickly, even if he had been a long-distance runner. It was like hundreds of yards in seconds. We never saw him again. We never saw the little red dog. But we feel like we walked into some time warp with a guy who may have died. You know, a lot of men died here because of the AIDS crisis in the 80s. He seemed like he might be gay. It was hard to say. But the main thing was that he just came out of nowhere, disappeared into nowhere, and there was, and even his voice was strange. It had this strange kind of muffled quality to it. It's the first time I have ever had a full physical encounter with something that felt like a spirit. Same with my friend. We both had the hair on the back of our necks going as we were walking out of the park. We were both kind of shaken because it felt weird. It didn't feel like a normal human encounter. We actually had to go and have a drink afterwards and decompress. Anyway, I didn't know how haunted Golden Gate Park was. I found out later that there's a phantom police officer, there's a phantom woman on horseback, all of this other stuff. But this was our personal experience, and I have to say, to this day, I think we did run into some sort of a spirit or some kind of an emanation of some sort. Anyway, I hope that this might be of interest to you. Let me know. My number is...
Nope, don't need a phone number, but thank you so much for the story. That was, it was a good short story. One of my favorite stories in 3 minutes or less that we've had in a while.
That was fascinating.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, it's one thing if you go to, if they would have gone to the park knowing it's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, maybe we're going to see something. But they're just out, you know, walking and talking and... out of the blue, some guy comes up.
Yeah.
How strange is that?
Who has an out-of-date feel to them, is somehow almost teleporting across the damn park, and just they just feel there's something not right going on here. You know, not that the person's bad or evil or anything, but just something's off. Something is not, shouldn't be going. There's just something's off, and they know it.
Because I thought they were going to say they turned around and he was gone.
Yeah.
But they turned around and he was so far away, he couldn't have gotten that far.
That's
away.
Even scarier because if they're gone, you can maybe figure something out of how they got away and you didn't catch it. But if you see them way the hell out there, that's more of like, that's impossible.
That was creepy.
Yeah.
But really good, too.
Yes. If you have any more stories, I would love to hear them. Very good storyteller. Thank you so much for sharing that experience with us here on the program. That is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, please support it. Become an extra podcast person and EPP. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get a brand new bonus episode every single weekend. Access to the archive and commercial-free episodes and all of that. Follow us on social media. Carol's over on Instagram at Carol Hughes. I'm at Tony Bruschi. For all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, yes, that's me. I'm Tony Bruschi again. Have a good night, and thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.